Good morning. How are you?
I got some complaints.
Oh, tell me all about the complaints.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they're both stupid, right? But, like, I got in a little bit of an internet shit fight about AI nonsense, because Fedora Linux announced that they're going to allow AI contributions as long as you say that they're AI contributions, and people think that this is fine, actually, for an operating system to do.
I saw one post from you about that. I didn't realize it had blown up into a whole thing.
There are some replies in another person's replies. It's just, you know, people are generally being like, well, AI people are being like, this is fine, actually. You're probably already using a bunch of AI code. And I'm sitting here like, that's not the point.
That's not the point.
Fucking point. Also, like, I didn't even get a chance to get into it with this because none of these people actually take any pleasure in arguing about Linux like people used to. So there's very limited space to actually do this with here. But, like, one of the big things about AI, we've seen it in books for that settlement that Anthropic just had to do, is the license agreements. And license agreements are the entire reason that Linux exists in the first place. And it's annoying. And then I opened up a bag of Kettle Brand salt and vinegar chips, and there's no vinegar flavor to them. There's only the salt.
Then what's the fucking point?
If I wanted just salty chips, I'd have just bought the normal plain salty chips. I wanted the vinegar.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anyway,
the vinegar is the entire point.
Yeah, the point is I want my mouth to hurt a little. I want to know if I've got
salt.
Like,
salt is assumed.
Yeah, salt is. Have you ever seen those old, like, up until, like, I think the 70s in the UK, it was the default for potato chips to be fucking plain, and they came with a packet of salt in the bag, and you had to do it yourself?
Well, how do you get the salt to adhere to the chips, then?
Well, that's the fucking thing.
Sorry,
right?
The crisps.
That's the fucking thing. The salt doesn't actually stick to the potato. If you do it that far after the fact, you have to add the seasonings when they're fresh out of the fryer.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I would even think that that's obvious.
I would too, but the British Isles have always had a tenuous relationship with seasonings, to put it mildly. But yeah, no vinegar.
I mean, you can only put it mildly given the British.
Hey!
Sorry, right, that joke right. was not worth interrupting you for.
No, but I did appreciate it. But yeah, no, so I'm you could say I'm salty. I'm in a mood. I'm in a little bit of a mood, but it's okay. Not that bad of a mood. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just got done listening to King Gizzard's 12-bar brews for like the umpteenth time. This fucking King Gizzard podcast is going to absolutely destroy my Last.fm stats for the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you are. Yeah, you're. I mean, here's the thing, right? It's already paying off in that Yael found some music because of King Gizzard being all up in her algorithm that I really
That's
enjoyed
true.
Listening to. So, like, it's I'm not sure this is a bad thing, but it is going to drastically outweigh, I think, a lot of your other tendencies on your music stats.
If it jumps into my all-time artists, I'm going to be very frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, I have that problem with Fish for a while there, and actually to this day. If I'm just putting out a bunch of Fish for the day, I do that in a way that doesn't end up on my Last.fm, because otherwise Fish will, or other jam bands too, but it's mostly Fish, will just completely dominate my entire profile.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to. Like, I'm putting that on intentionally as music that I have on while I'm doing other things, and it's just kind of there, and I appreciate it,
it's
and I
ambient.
Enjoy it.
You're not actively listening.
Exactly. I am sometimes actively listening to Fish, but a lot of times it's just there. It's just there to be background noise. It works with my brain, and I don't need that all up in my Last.fm, because otherwise Fish would be my number one artist for, God, I don't know, 10, 12 years?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
and you want your Last.fm to actually show your diversity of taste, not just, here's the one thing I'm into.
Yeah. I also listen to Goose. Come on.
Ding. This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by myself, Noel Midnight, and Liz Mulholland, where we dive into our search histories and then share what we've been Googling this week. Music by Noel Midnight.
Yeah, there's your break for the title music.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
Well, speaking of King Gizzard.
Back from the title music.
Yeah. Speaking of King Gizzard, you I'm just gonna jump right in. You searched by microtonal guitar, King Gizzard. What's up with that?
So we're doing a thing for the podcast where every week we are recording a short sting to put in the show right after I do the intro.
Like you do with this show.
Yeah, except I'm doing it unique for every episode.
Yeah.
And it's always inspired by the record that we just listened to. And so far, it's just been us plagiarizing riffs.
Sure.
Note for note. And I realized that once we get to records like Flying Microtonal Banana, we're going to run into a problem doing that.
You've accidentally given yourself an excuse for a little bit of gear acquisition syndrome here, actually.
Well, the problem is, it's our 15th episode.
Well, you've got
some
time.
So it's coming
then.
Up pretty quick.
You've got some time, but it is coming up, yeah.
Yeah, it means we have about, what, 26 weeks?
Something like that. That's enough time to make it to I almost said Micro Center. That's enough time to make it to Guitar Center.
Oh, Guitar Center does not sell this shit.
I didn't think so.
I have found one retailer that sells them for a reasonable price.
Oh, then what are we defining as reasonable here? I vaguely know how much
$850.
Guitar costs generally, but okay, that's not unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable. It's more than I want to spend. I've heard that the cheapest option is to actually buy a guitar and take it into a luthier and tell them add the extra frets for me.
Sure, but then you have to. I mean, listen, I know a couple of cobblers that I have taken shoes to before around here, so I'm not saying it's impossible, but I am saying not everyone has a phone book in which to look up a luthier, you know?
I mean, if I'm looking up a luthier, I am going to my local music store and asking them first.
Right, yeah.
And if that fails, then I'm going on Reddit.
Right.
But I don't know. I really don't know how we're going to tackle that problem when it comes up, because I do not have $850. We certainly don't have enough listeners to build $850 from the show itself. So I think we'll just cross that bridge when we come to it. I think Yael mentioned that there might be synths that can do microtonal stuff, like software instruments.
That wouldn't surprise me, but I would be interested to know how that works, actually, just technically speaking.
I'd be interested to know how I'm supposed to play that.
Yeah, that too. I gotta learn the guitar. I've been meaning to for ages.
It's a great instrument.
It is. I have a weird relationship with playing instruments. I haven't actually done it in like years.
Yeah,
I played the cello in high school, and then I was like, well, I enjoyed that when I wasn't being made to feel bad about not being better at it, and you know.
But that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the problem with so many things.
There's always the voice in your head that says, you could be better.
Yeah, and sometimes that voice was out of my head, and that's even worse.
That is worse.
Yeah. But, it encourages the voice in your head.
Right.
But
I don't know. I like playing music. I'm not good at playing music, and that's because I don't practice. Because
well, that's
practice
the other problem.
Sucks.
This is the problem with every endeavor. Yeah. Practice sucks. I don't know. I don't
Yael,
hate practice
however,
in some cases, but a lot of times, yeah, it just sucks. Yael, however,
has been practicing like a fucking madman.
Good.
Like, every
good.
Day she's picking up the bass and doing something that she's not good at.
Which is always hard.
Yeah, and I admire that. I respect that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I think. I'm just tired.
Yeah, I get that. I've had a hell of a week. I had a hell of a last week when we didn't record. It's been a hell of a month.
I think everybody's having a hell of a month, and not in small part because we are amongst what, the longest government shutdown? You Googled longest government shutdown. Are we there yet?
No, but we're getting close. I should have marked that as just a quick one. But yeah, no, we are, as of recording, it's the 23rd of October, 2025. It's 1310 in the early afternoon on the West Coast. And we are still in a government shutdown that has been going on since the 1st of October. But that is not the longest one, because the longest one was 35 days. Starting from December 2018. And that's the one that gave us the best picture in all of American presidential history. The one of Donald Trump standing. That would be the picture of Donald Trump standing there in a in some random banquet room in the White House, topical, with a bunch of fast food because they were having a reception for the winner of the college football championship.
That's right.
But they can't pay the cooks for the White House event space.
So they ordered McDonald's.
So they ordered McDonald's and Wendy's and Domino's. It genuinely, I think, is one of the best pictures in all of American history. But yeah, no, we're not there yet. But we are firmly in second place right now. I think.
So, are we in the cool zone?
Oh yeah. Oh my. If we weren't in the cool zone before, I think we definitively entered the cool zone when Charlie Kirk took one to the neck. Right. Like.
Okay.
I would argue that we entered the cool zone when we started deploying federal troops and agents to quote invade unquote cities completely unconstitutionally, but like. Depending on your marker, I think both of those are pretty valid markers. And either way, we're in it. We're definitely in it. We are absolutely the fuck in it now.
So the only way to get out of the cool zone, obviously, as any Democrat will tell you, is that you have to vote. And I know that you Googled the Stranger Voting Guide.
Oh, don't.
The Stranger being an outlet here in Seattle.
It certainly is.
Who every year publishes a guide to the elections so that we can, you know what we're voting for and be an informed populace.
Yeah, so I
what did you
look
learn?
That up. Well, I learned mostly what I knew already. I check the Stranger's Voting Guide for the local elections. I also check the Urbanists. There's a couple others that I check as well, but not as frequently. The thing is, right, the Seattle Times has one, but A, they suck, and B, it's paywalled, and C, they're usually in favor of the kind of dipshits who are making the city worse, so why would I read their voting guide anyway?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I was filling my ballot out yesterday. I was like, well, I generally know what's going on here, but I don't remember what's going on in, like, the school board elections, because...
Right.
I'm not following that one very closely, and it's not getting much attention. But, you know, the Stranger does at least hold interviews with candidates before they endorse them. So, like, you know, I at least have a vague idea of what's going on there. If you do live in Seattle, I would encourage you to vote against Bruce Harrell as quickly as possible, just so that... Because, you know, it takes a few days to count all the votes when they come in, because we're a vote-by-mail state. But I really, really want to go to bed on election night this year with the satisfaction of knowing that we've kicked Bruce out of office. Considering how disastrous election night was last year at the federal level.
This year is going to take, I need a win. This year is going to take two bottles of scotch.
This year... Jesus Christ, it'll have been a year. It's been a weird year since last election day. But on the bright side, at least there's some stuff in the local elections that can actually make some tangible and meaningful differences. This is my thing with elections in general, right? Like, I know that my vote in the general election generally, I mean, in the federal level elections generally doesn't matter because of the way that the Constitution is laid out and because of the state I live in. But like, you know, senators, House reps, everything from that level on down, the lower down you go in terms of like hierarchy of government, the more impact it has on a lot of your day-to-day life. And I really think that like, you know, mayor and school board are some of the most important elections that happen actually. So, you know, that's my bullshit plea for democracy to the listeners of this show, which I think are mostly socialists and probably going to vote anyway, but only some of whom actually live in King County at all. So, you know, what the fuck do I know?
So none of it matters.
None of, everything's made up and the points don't matter.
But goddamn, getting Katie Wilson in office would be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even nearly as momentous as on the national level than, like, God willing, Cuomo eats shit in New York the same night, you know. But it's up there, right? We actually got Katie Wilson got profiled by the New York Times. For once, they're paying attention. That. Yeah. This is, I believe, it went out yesterday or the day before. We're finally getting national attention.
I understandably do not pay a whole lot of attention to the Times at this point.
No, me either. But I did see that fly by on various news feeds. I was like, oh, hey, they noticed something happening on the West Coast. That's unusual for them in and of itself. I didn't read the profile.
Well, I mean, how do you not do a profile on Seattle's Zorin?
That is such a interesting framing to me, just because, I like Katie Wilson. I think she's a good – yeah, she's not. I think she's a good candidate. I think she's a decent person. I think she'll be a pretty good mayor. But she – I really don't want to sound mean, but she lacks some of the, like, social media charisma that Zahran Mamdani has, you know? Like, she hasn't got the same kind of juice.
If she were the next Mamdani, which, you know, is whatever. But if she were
– whatever that means.
I feel like people outside of Seattle would know who she is.
Yeah, nobody knows who outside of Seattle knows who Katie Wilson is except for, like, the wonkiest of the wonks, you know?
And apparently the New York Times,
who, until the past few years have been, like, the country's main jobs program for wonks. So, you know, good to see them getting back to their roots. Speaking of getting back to your roots, tell me, how do you clean up Silicon Lube from the floor?
So, you might think that this is a sex thing, but it's not. So, as
you know what? Fuck you. I did think it was a sex thing. Wait, is this about your share?
Yeah, as keen-eared listeners to the podcast may have heard, my office chair squeaks like a motherfucker.
It does.
And so
it really
I did
does.
Some Googling, and I was like, what can I do to fix this goddamn chair? And everyone was like, oh, you want the silicone quick-drying WD-40. So I went and I bought some. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to apply this to my chair. So I squirted it all over the place on my chair, not realizing that it was going to drip all over the floor and create a slick, hazardous situation.
Oh, and you did it over. Yeah. Oh, and you didn't put a tarp down or anything, did you?
Didn't put a tarp down. There was no towel. I could have done it out on the sidewalk if I'd been thinking.
Well, see, this is the thing, right? I probably would have made the exact same fucking mistake. I can't lie to you. My first thought would not be, oh, I should put a tarp down. I bet this lube is going to drip down the shaft of my fucking office chair.
And that's not the first time we've talked about lube dripping down shafts on this show.
It's a rich tapestry.
But yeah, so I learned that generally you just need some sort of non-water solution. So you need a solvent of some sort.
Right.
And so I just came in here with some Dawn. Like, no water on the paper towel. Just Dawn.
Ooh, all right.
And I scrubbed the shit out of the floor, and then I did not rinse it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should have rinsed it.
You probably should rinse it. That's what I did. I did get that fairly large grease stain out of my couch with just Dawn, but I did rinse it afterwards.
Yeah, so my floor is a little Dawny right now.
Is it slippery or is it, like, congealed? Or, like, what's the texture like there?
Right now? Right now it's not bad.
Okay.
It feels pretty normal now.
All right.
The Dawn did its job.
That's good. I mean, they use that shit to clean adorable wildlife up after an oil spill, so you know.
Right. It's got to be good for something.
It's incredible that they advertise that on the bottle. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Like,
what
kind of world do we live in?
Person.
We're not all out here rescuing adorable, you know, small birds from oil spills, but somehow this makes it on the front of the bottle of Dawn that you put next to the sink when you're, you know, scrubbing out the last pot you've got that's vaguely clean so you can make mac and cheese for dinner because you forgot to eat all day. Just as an example, I don't know who'd do that.
Just as an example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of food, tell me, is Amazon Fresh Store open during AWS outage?
They were open, but they weren't very useful. I only know that secondhand, though. I had to go look it up because I was curious. But by the time I got curious about this on Monday, when listeners, if you'd forgotten already, I can't blame you. But the Monday immediately prior to this recording, US East 1 went down again in such a way that took down most of the rest of AWS 2, even if you weren't in US East 1. In true Amazon fashion, this took down a lot of internal Amazon services too, including their retail operations.
Not to mention the rest of the web.
Not to mention the rest of the web, a lot of restaurant Square readers and their cash registers and all that. There was the entire fiasco with everybody who's got an Eat Sleep mattress, because a smart mattress with a water pump is a thing that you can buy now.
That
sets the temperature of the water running through your mattress so that it's more comfortable, but doesn't have an automatic shutoff if it loses connection to the internet or its backend servers, which are, as we found out, hosted in Amazon US East 1. Yeah. A lot of stuff broke on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm kind of annoyed. I don't
understand the need to have a mattress be IoT.
I don't either. I also, you know, like, even if it had a failsafe, I'm still not sure I understand the appeal. But, like, put a failsafe in. None of these things have failsafes or backup modes for if they lose connection to their backend. And that could just, you know, this could have easily happened because, you know, you had a local ISP outage. Or it could happen because of basically the same bug in AWS that happened, like, I believe 2 years ago and caused almost exactly the same failure state that happened this time.
I want to know if any hospitals got impacted.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I want to know if healthcare got impacted. I want to know if people died because of this.
I don't know if anyone died, but like I know there's some pharmacy systems that rely on AWS for various functions. I'm kind of annoyed because I work for a competitor in some ways to AWS.
Sure.
And as such, all of our stuff is hosted on our own servers and not on theirs. And my workday was like 90% unaffected, and I just had a normal day at work, except for one password was down intermittently throughout the day, and I was unable to fetch some things I need to log into stuff to do my job. But that was really the only, thing I had to deal with there. Everything else, our systems were running fine. I'm going to find some wood to knock on here. Hopefully part of
so,
part
so
of the
you don't
counts.
Use Jira then?
I do. But our Jira was unaffected. I don't know how, because everyone else I know was affected, but ours was working fine.
Well, isn't that nice for you?
Yeah, I'm so glad it's so reliable. But yeah, so Amazon Fresh stores were affected. Amazon order dispatching was definitely affected.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, that was a problem. I got this curiosity too late in the day, though, because I walked down to the not the Amazon Fresh, but the whatever they call the little inconvenience store there on Madison. You know, the one with the shitty hours. Yeah. That's been open the whole time. And they closed the Big Fresh there on Pike. But the little tiny
Amazon Go? Is that
Amazon Go, that's what it's called. Yes, the little tiny fake bodega that closes at 6 p.m. for some reason and doesn't open on the weekends, even though it's supposed to be employee free, but they still have to have an employee there. You know, that one. I walked down there in the afternoon, and things had already mostly cleared up by then, so I was able to walk in fine and grab some things. But mostly I wanted a Coke Zero vanilla lime, and the freestyle machine had just started its cleaning cycle when I got there.
Oh.
So, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad.
So it goes. But yeah, no, everything broke because of one data center in Virginia. Thanks a lot,
everyone. Did you hear about the new Amazon glasses?
Glasses?
Oh, you didn't.
They're doing glasses
now?
Amazon, I thought it was just Meta.
Amazon is trialing glasses that can auto-scan packages and give you turn-by-turn directions so that employees on the delivery side can be more efficient.
Oh my God.
What that means in practice is that Amazon now has constantly recording devices on every delivery driver across the US, filming everything at all times.
I love that. They already own Ring cameras, so, you know, they've got a bunch of those anyway.
Uh-huh.
Let's put more cameras in. Why not? Oh my God. No, I did not hear about this at all. Because, like,
the sort of state is beginning to feel more like a surveillance country, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really is. And that's almost the kind of thing where, like, you know, an eyeglasses mounted barcode scanner, if it were, like, you know, operated locally, just attached to the little PDA in your pocket that you got to use, that's kind of cool, actually. The rest of it, though, what the fuck? I don't want any of that.
I don't mind turn-by-turn directions in my glasses. I think that's kind of fun.
That would be kind of cool. I am, like, vaguely interested in the concept of some kind of HUD. I don't really want glasses on my camera, though. I mean, I don't really want cameras on my glasses, though.
Yeah, no, it's bad. And the Meta glasses aren't any better. I don't like them.
No, I don't like them either. I also don't like that they've gone with the classic Wayfarer design, because I'm really worried that someday somebody is going to assume that I'm wearing the stupid Facebook glasses when I'm just wearing my regular Wayfarers that I paid too much for.
Oh, that's fun. I hadn't thought about that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I paid too much for, like, the classic design Wayfarer, which is a little bit chunkier than the new, air quotes, Wayfarer that came out in the 80s. Because, you know, I like the classic look better, but that's the AI Wayfarers are also kind of chunky, although in a different way. But, like, nobody's going to notice that shit. I've already once mistaken a pair of AI Wayfarers for the standard ones on while someone was wearing them in a picture. So, like, you know, I...
This is a good case for exclusively buying those novelty glasses that look like bullshit. Like the giant bright lime green ones with the weird cutouts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just wear your 2020 New Year's glasses all for forever now. Just get prescription lenses put in them. You're done.
The eternal 2020.
I mean, that's what we're living. That's what we're living.
That is, yeah.
Tell me about, what is this, Milito versus Brook Incorporated? This sounds like a legal case.
Yeah, I got a check in the mail earlier this week.
Ooh, how much?
Let me check that. $307.82.
$307.82. That's a pretty hefty check.
Yeah, and the only thing it said on it to identify it was the name of the case.
Can I ask a slightly personal question? What name was it addressed to?
Noel Midnight.
Okay, so they're up to date with that much, at least. I was kind of hoping this would be such an old settlement case that it would be a few names out of date for you.
No, what it ended up being is this is a case about Washington employers not disclosing wage scale or salary range on job postings.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I didn't even know that I was eligible for this case.
Yeah, like, what, do you know what job that you've had triggered it?
I have no idea.
No idea, huh.
I mean, I've applied for hundreds and hundreds of jobs in Washington
State. You've applied
for
a lot of fucking jobs, yeah.
And so it could be any one of those that I applied for, or all of them in aggregate. I don't know.
Maybe that's why it's $300, yeah.
Maybe that's why it's $300. I'm not complaining about it, because I did just hire an artist to do a fursona ref sheet for me.
Oh, hey, it's
and
free money.
That's going to eat up the majority of this settlement check.
Sure, sure. But you got some left over for, like, you know, a nice lunch.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can run down to the Amazon Go and get some chicken strips.
I don't even know if they have chicken strips.
They do.
Oh, is that? I never look at anything in the hot case there, because I just assume that if it's under a heat lamp and in a pouch, that is not going to be good.
Yeah, no, the chicken strips are completely fine. They're not quite cromulent.
All right. Yeah, that tracks. Because the, like, it's very, like, chicken strips are very variable there, but, like, you also have to consider the context. Like, if I'm on, say, the ferry, and it's the only option where everything's already in a pouch under a heat lamp, I'm like, well, this is fine. It's my only option. How bad can it really be? And I'm on the ferry, so it's...
Right.
It's all right. But if I'm standing there in the inconvenience store, knowing that I could walk, like, a little bit up to the bus stop and go to Safeway and get much better chicken strips, like, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I only ever did it because it was, you know, in my building.
Yeah. It was Are they ever going to open? I hope they open that Five Guys at some point, even though I probably won't go there.
There's no chance that's ever opening. It's been so long.
It's been over a year.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah. It has been so long since that store has been announced that the Mariners have almost made it to the World Series. Can you tell me about the Mariners game broadcast that you Googled?
Yeah, this is, I think, slightly older than a week, but whatever, who cares? I was trying to work out if the American League Championship Series was actually going to be available over an antenna, or if I had to use my bullshit cable login. And what I discovered is that Google is bad at telling you this information in its little info block about the game. And I don't know if that's Google's fault or if it's Fox Sports' fault, because they list the live option as like Fox Sports Live, and that doesn't tell me if it's on one of their cable channels or if it's actually just on TV. The answer turned out to be that it was just on TV, and I can in fact watch it with an antenna, but it wasn't clear, and now it's kind of a moot point because they lost Game 7 in pretty heartbreaking fashion, actually.
That was not fun to watch.
No, that was
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I have been listening to most of the series on the radio broadcast instead, which is always works, even if you don't have the right cable subscription or whatever. I really thought this was the year, you know? I really thought this year they would make it to the World Series, and I really wanted them to, like... Between Cal Raleigh's having an incredible year, between Ichiro making it into the Hall of Fame this year, it seemed like everything was lining up. It seemed like everything was going
the Mariners'
way.
The stars were aligning, yeah.
Yeah, the stars were in fact aligning, and then we just bottled it. In
many such
what I'm
cases.
Learning from living here is traditional Mariners fashion. So, you know, we'll see how the Mariners are next year. But I am worried that, like, they're not going to spend the money to retain the talent they've got and strengthen the rest of the lineup. But on the bright side, in television-related news, they are giving up on owning their own regional sports network. Root Sports will no longer be a thing after...
Oh, really?
Well, now? Yeah. They are selling their broadcast rights back to Major League Baseball itself for production. And I don't know what that's going to mean for cable subscribers in terms of like how that channel is going to look. This has happened for other teams in the past. And basically what happens is MLB takes over production, but maintains the existing agreements with the cable companies to keep the channel running. Usually they hire back most, if not all, of the production crew and commentators as well. But what it does mean for those of us who don't want to pay for cable is that when MLB owns the broadcast rights, you can pay like, I believe it's like, you know, for other teams, it's been like $20 a month on top of whatever it is that you might pay already for MLB TV. And you get to watch the local games without a blackout. So I canceled my Comcast subscription yesterday.
Oh, good for you.
Because I don't need it anymore now that that option is going to be available. Because literally the only reason I had cable television was to watch the local baseball games that are happening, you know, a 20-minute walk from my house.
Right.
But that they don't broadcast over the air because basically no teams broadcast over the air anymore. And the Mariners still won't, but like, you know, at least I can fling $20 a month at MLB, which is way less than I was paying for cable because Root Sports used to be in the highest tier channel package.
Yeah, of course it was. Where else would it be? It's a sports channel.
Yeah, where else are they going to put it?
They know that sports guys will pay just about anything.
I sure fucking was.
Yep.
I have done this so many places just because I'm not even like I am a Mariners fan. Actually, I've realized that I've become one. But even in the past, when I haven't really considered myself a fan of the local team, I still think it's good to watch the local team when you live there. I think it's like,
sure.
It's one of those,
it's
not
culture.
Civic duty, but like, yeah, it's culture, it's civic pride. It's something that you can connect to a lot of other people in the city with if you happen to be like randomly talking to someone at a bar or something, you know? That's just, it's one of those things where it's good to know one of the important things that's going on in your city. And I think it's important that people be able to access that, which is why putting all the games on cable TV is bullshit.
It really is.
Yeah, but, you know, we're getting a streaming package next year, so that'll be good.
Your next search term, I assume, is related to trying to watch Mariners. You searched for LG remote mute button.
That is not related at all.
Is it not?
Not related in the slightest. Because
I tell you what, I've been watching broadcast TV for sports, and dear God, does it make me want to shoot my eyes out.
No. So, I mean, it is tangentially related in that one of the programs that I was watching that I wanted to mute was, in fact, the Mariners broadcast on Fox. However, no. Two weekends ago, I was out visiting my mother in Connecticut at her house. And her husband and had just bought a shiny new LG television. And it comes with, you know, the weird magic remote thing that you can wave around like a Wii remote to click to interact with the user interface.
I hate that.
I don't like it. I don't like it either.
But it's not user friendly.
No, it is not. It's not user friendly even if you've used a Wii before, and my mother hasn't. And, like, my mother's pretty decent with computers, all things considered, but it is completely unfamiliar to her to wave her hand around like she's in Minority Report to operate the television. I think that's a lot to ask of someone. I really do.
It's not ergonomically fun.
It's not ergonomically fun. It's not ergonomically correct. It's not ergonomically anything. But so they've had this style of remote out for a while now, and they've just come out with a new version of it that doesn't have a mute button. In order to mute the television, you're supposed to, like, push down the little rocker switch for the volume control as though you're merely turning it down, and if you hold it down for a couple of seconds, then it engages mute. The other thing that it does is while you're holding it down, waiting for it to engage mute, it does continue to lower the volume anyway, as though you're just pushing down on the button. And what this means is that when you push the volume rocker back up to unmute the television, your television is not at the same volume level it was when you started this process. And my mother Which means it's a useless fucking feature. My mother is the kind of person who mutes the TV whenever commercials come on.
I don't blame her.
I don't either. I grew up on a pretty steady diet of PBS, and I realize in retrospect a lot of that is just that my mother, intentionally or otherwise, didn't really expose me to a lot of advertising as a kid. And
which is correct. I mean, you sure got ads for 3M, a family company, but
brought to you by what was it? Like Welch's grapefruit juice, I think, sponsored PBS Kids for a while.
Welch makes grapefruit juice? Oh.
That's like their main thing. That's how they started.
No, it's grape juice.
Oh, did I said grapefruit? Not grapefruit juice.
You said
juice.
Grapefruit.
No. I meant grape juice. Grape,
oh, okay.
Fruit juice.
That's much better.
Yeah. No. I meant grape. I just got my... Why is it called grapefruit? Why? It's nowhere near a grape. Why is it called that? I don't know. Anyway, point being... We'll save that for next week's episode. Why is it called grapefruit? Here's a little spoiler for you. But yeah, no. So, you know, like my mother got this TV like 2 days before I got there. My stepsister set it up, got it out of the box and all. Did the correct thing, turned off motion smoothing. So good job to my stepsister. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no. The you can't mute it without also losing track of where the volume was set. And if you're my mother and you mute the TV whenever the commercials come on, which I think is a perfectly sane and reasonable thing to do, you basically can't. So I ended up ordering her a third-party universal, air quotes, remote that works with LGs and had it shipped to her house. And you know what it
that
has?
That was going to be my suggestion.
Yeah, that's what I did. And it has a mute button, because of course it does, because it's a fucking remote for the television. The Apple TV remote has a mute button. What are we doing here?
And the Apple TV remote has six buttons.
Yeah. It has six buttons. You know what? This remote also, the LG remote does have buttons for poobs. It does have a Netflix button and a Sling button and I think a Pluto button.
Of course.
And one other. I forget the other one. But I noticed the Pluto button. I was like, huh, poob.
So I was afraid you were going to tell me was that it required you to press an audio assistant button and say, mute the television.
So it does have one of those. It does have an... It very proudly brags it is AI-based. In fact, it does have a voice interface. And what we discovered is that neither my accent nor my mother's accent works with it.
Oh, that's incredible.
My mother has a very different accent to me. However, you know...
It's purely Middle America.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they tested it on, like, Packers fans and no one else.
Oof.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yep. I didn't get very far with the voice command. Neither did she.
Neither would anyone, because it's a useless fucking feature.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like even if it could understand me, it probably wouldn't work very well anyway, because none of them do. I mean, Siri gets worse every year. Tell me about... You've got a couple here that are confusing to me, actually. Hannibal or... You searched Hannibal Buress' friend, and what the fuck? What does that mean?
First of all, if I say I can't remember someone's name, but I know that they're Hannibal Buress' friend, do you know who I'm talking about?
Eric Andre.
Yeah, Google got that, too.
Oh, well, all right. I guess it turns out I do know. What's a...
So that's it. That's it. That's all I needed. That's the entire search term.
Cool.
I thought it was interesting that I could just type in Hannibal Buress' friend and immediately get thrown to Eric Andre.
That's one of those things where, like, what, 5 or so years ago, probably, we would have done that and been like, wow, Google search is really good. It can get what the hell I meant from this really vague and broad search term. And
sometimes it still can.
Yeah. And at this point, I'm surprised when it does that.
Yes.
God. Can you use a t-shirt as a back patch? What is a back patch? So what are you talking about?
So are you familiar with the concept of a battle jacket?
Yes. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like a denim jacket that you put a ton of patches on.
Yeah, frequently
seen in the punk and hardcore scene. I have been trying to put patches on my denim jacket because why not?
What else are you going to do with it? Yeah.
Right. And I found a t-shirt that has a perfect like image that I want to put on the back of the jacket. But I know that t-shirts aren't necessarily the greatest material to use as patches. They're kind of stretchy and like it's just going to sag and look weird. Or at least in my head, it's going to sag and look weird and it's not going to be a good back patch.
No, that would also be my assumption, too. Like, you'd have to get it really taut to the underlying jacket material if you wanted it to stay in place and look good and not wrinkle independently of the jacket.
Yeah, and so what I ended up finding was that you can just use, like, a fusible, like, iron-on interfacing that you can get at, like, a craft store.
Oh!
And you can iron the t-shirt onto that. Which makes it more durable and rigid so that it will actually keep its shape when it's on the jacket.
All right, that makes sense. All right, okay. Cool.
And then all you need is the rotary cutter to cut it out and make everything look nice, and you're done.
Yeah, well, shit.
So yeah, that's one thing that I learned this week. I actually learned something this week. Everyone
you learned something useful, even.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to go on to Poshmark or wherever and find this t-shirt that's out of print and buy one. Size doesn't matter because
it's going
I'm
on
not
the back
wearing
of the jacket.
The fucker.
Are you at liberty to say what this t-shirt is, or do you want to say that till after you found one?
It's a old Silent Planet t-shirt. Silent Planet is a metalcore band who is known for being very socially conscious.
Okay, all right.
And they have a t-shirt that on the back of it says, "Heal us of our homophobia, addiction, religion, sexism, racism, war."
Oh, that's good. That is good.
And so that's what I want to throw on the back of my jacket. They sold this t-shirt for about 10 years and they no longer sell it anymore.
They replaced it with something more woke, or what's going on?
No, they just have a completely new merch line.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
The last time they sold this shirt was June 10th of 2024 to raise funds for Palestine. And now they don't have it anymore because they've moved on to a new album cycle. So I missed that. Oops.
Yeah, understandable. Los Campesinos have a banner that they hang over one of their amps with a fairly similar set of messages on it that I wish they would sell as a t-shirt. Or they got a couple banners, actually. One of them is about freedom for Palestine. The other is for trans healthcare. They should just sell it as a t-shirt. They should just sell it as a t-shirt. Actually, they should just sell the banners, too. Both of those would be great. You do like it when a band actually isn't shit about that sort of thing. You really
you do.
Have to appreciate it.
It is good. Like, I love seeing Godspeed You Black Emperor, like, very clearly promoting trans rights on their amps. Like, that's fun. It's good.
Yeah. I saw that when I saw them in Boston, and then they still had it when we saw them in Seattle. That was one of the first concerts I'd been to in a very long time, the one in Boston. And it did move me. It did strike me a little. I was a little bit weepy when I saw it.
Yeah. I had a similar experience seeing MAE. They are a they were a small like Christian band from the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But they got back together and they're playing shows again. And I went to see them live. And you know how it is with Christian bands. You have to take them with a little bit of suspicion.
Yeah, but I don't see them often, but that is my usual approach to encountering them in the wild.
Yeah, because there could be something up. And yeah. Right before they played, as their guitarist was putting on their guitar, on the back of it, I saw a giant trans flag. And I believe it said trans rights on it.
Oh, good. Good.
Which
good.
Made me so happy. It's so good to see a band that you liked 20 years ago come back and not be shitheads.
Yeah, yeah. That, especially in that particular genre, that's really good to
yeah.
see. Hey, do you want a quick silly update that someone just sent me about about a construction project in Seattle?
I love hearing silly updates about construction projects in Seattle.
Yeah, so the 2 line across Lake Washington, they're ramping up testing, and they're now testing it 7 nights a week in advance.
Oh,
of,
that's exciting.
Getting that open. Yeah, yeah. 7 nights a week from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. They're running test trains across the bridge. So we might just get the 2 line open early next year.
That would be exciting. That would be great. I would love to be able to go over to Redmond more easily.
Yeah. Yeah, it would actually be convenient to me in a couple of very silly but useful ways to make it to Redmond. I mean, to Bellevue easier, even though it's basically a mall with a bunch of skyscrapers attached to a suburb. Because I found out recently, we can actually segue this into another topic of mine, but it's actually really annoying to get to the Apple Store that is in Seattle proper, like within city limits.
It's so annoying to get there.
When the 2 line opens,
you
across
have to
the
drive.
Lake, yeah, I had some leisure time, so I took the 1 line up to take the bus across to University Village. But like I said, I had some leisure time. If I didn't, I probably would have just driven. And like that's stupid. So when the 2 line opens, we'll actually have a transit accessible Apple Store. It's just going to be in Bellevue. Make it make sense.
I'm okay with that.
I am,
because
too.
Taking the light rail is always going to be faster than the bus anyway.
Yeah, I actually, like a couple months ago, I took the bus to Bellevue, and it really takes a while, especially on a Saturday.
That's an hour-long
comes
trip.
Like, yeah, it's Saturday, and it comes like every 20 minutes or so at best, and you're spending an hour on the bus on the 90.
It's not good.
It's pretty silly.
Tell me about Dare Table fundraising. I'm really curious about that.
I am too. I didn't find any satisfying answers though. Well, I found a couple, but not that many.
I don't even know. I can't even tell what you were looking for.
Oh, right. You were homeschooled.
Because I'm familiar with Dare as an organization.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
I've seen the T-shirts.
Yeah, right.
I'm
so
aware that they're an organization that purports to reduce drug use, but actually does the opposite.
Yes. This is like a month old now, but I remembered it again, and I was curious, so I searched it again, and I still found no satisfying answers. So they're still around. Dare, which stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education, pretty poor acronym, if you ask me.
Yeah, I thought it stood for drugs are really excellent.
Yeah, I did too, turns out.
I still believe that.
Listen, I don't want to talk about it. No, like a month ago, I was in Oakland. I was walking to a grocery store in Oakland, California, and there was a table set up out front of this grocery store in this little strip mall on Broadway, on the main drag of downtown Oakland. And it was set up with a Dare tablecloth, and it had a couple guys with clipboards standing around it. And I didn't pay any attention on the way in because I was focused on, like, you know, doing the shopping I was there to do.
Of course.
But on the way out, I walked a little more slowly, and I was eavesdropping on the 2 guys there. And one of them actually finished accosting the person that they were in the middle of trying to get money from and started talking to me. And I was like, I politely brushed them off. But they're raising money to run the DARE program in Oakland's public schools was the gist of what they're doing. And I was sitting there like, I thought the police department funded this shit.
I didn't know that they were still an ongoing concern.
Well, I also didn't know that they were ongoing to the extent that they needed to raise money at all. Because A, again, I thought the police department funded this shit. But also B, most, like, a lot of school districts have stopped doing it and are using slightly less hyperbolic public health curricula regarding drug use. I'm not saying that they're like, you know, they're still telling you not to do drugs, but they're not like, they're not doing the DARE tactics that they used to use in a lot of schools still. So I was surprised that they were still an ongoing concern, and also that they had to raise money. And I think they've sort of entered the mad zone, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving zone, where there's like, it's difficult to argue with some of their stated policy outcomes sometimes, but I think that their policies and approaches are at best overzealous. And I do wonder at this point whether they've reached a level as a nonprofit where they're sort of mostly raising money to continue to exist as a nonprofit rather than to actually do any of their programs. But I couldn't really find much hard evidence for or against that. I just thought it was weird that they had to raise money, because I certainly don't, when I was in school as a kid and having to sit through DARE assemblies and such, I certainly don't remember them raising money for this sort of thing. Like, that was never like, I've seen other programs that operate in schools that definitely had to raise money to keep themselves afloat. DARE was not one of them.
Sure.
So I was just confused, and I'm still confused. But yeah, they're still out there. I think it's amusing that this guy started his approach with, hey, were you in DARE when you were in school? Which I guess we've reached the point where most kids who are now adults, roughly my age, have been through DARE, because it's been going since, what, the 90s, I think?
Yeah.
So yeah,
At least.
I couldn't remember if it started in the 80s or not. But either way, you know, I would say that most adults who are too young to be a United States senator have been through DARE if they went to public school.
Yeah.
But yeah. They're still out there, and they need money, apparently.
Let's see. DARE originated in the 80s. 1983.
Reagan. That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all Reagan. It's all Reagan.
Oh, so it's always Reagan. So, it's always fucking Reagan.
So if I were DARE, here's what I would do to raise money.
Uh-huh.
You do a bake sale, right?
Uh-huh. Is that it?
That's my entire joke.
You do a bake sale
and you sell weed cookies. Like, come on. It's not that hard.
Oh, we raised a lot of money for the High School Drama Club with bake sales. By which I mean we raised
And you could
small
raise
amount.
More money if you were selling them with laced cookies.
That is entirely true. That is entirely accurate. You've got a search term here that I don't know how to pronounce, and so I'm going to try it anyway. It looks like the ingredient in an energy drink. I'm just going to call that shot. What is guanfacine?
Guanfacine. It is a blood pressure med.
All right, so it's not in an energy drink. Got it.
It is not. It's a new med that I just started taking that is supposed to lower your blood pressure. I do not have a high blood pressure issue. If anything, I have a slightly low blood pressure issue.
I was going to say, I didn't think this was a problem of yours. What is the off-label thing that you're using it for, that you are prescribed it for?
Tics.
Oh, interesting.
So for those who don't know me in person, over the past few years, I have had really aggressive physical tics, like involuntary head movements, sometimes involuntary full body movements, often resulting in me being startled and shouting fuck, which is not appropriate in every situation. And the tics got really bad.
I'm sorry. It's a terrible question, but I have to know. Did you let one of those out while you were doing school pictures?
Yes, of course I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I
like
did not get
the
in
worst
trouble
place
for
it. Oh, that's good. I'm glad you didn't get in trouble.
No, but my tics are often triggered by thoughts or physical touch. So if I'm thinking about something that causes anxiety, it will often trigger a tic. If someone brushes up against me, it will trigger a tic. Even if I'm anticipating someone touching me, like if Yael is on the couch next to me and reaches over and puts her hand on my leg, I will jump.
Yes, I have seen this.
It's not good. And so eventually I went to my psych and I was like, hey, we got to do something about this. Is there anything that we can do? And without missing a single beat, he goes, guanfacine. You want guanfacine?
Huh. That's such a quick response out of a doctor.
Yeah, he didn't miss a beat. And I was like, oh, okay, what does that do? Can you explain it to me? And so he explained it to me.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is a common treatment for tics.
Really?
Yeah, apparently it's real common. And so we started taking it at 1 milligram.
All right. Wow.
Which is the lowest dose you can get.
That's barely anything.
And the next day, I went from having about 150 ticks a day down to 7.
Wow. That's great. That's really good.
That fast.
Wow.
And then eventually they started coming back a little bit more, so I doubled the dose, and now I'm on 2 milligrams and have about the same response, where it's not quite 7, it's closer to 20.
Okay.
But it is way, way, way reduced.
Yeah, yeah. How long have you been on it now?
Which is game-changing. It's been about 3 weeks.
Okay, all right. So you don't think this is one of those things where you just have to keep ramping it up as it counteracts?
I don't think so. I think we might up it one more time just to see if we can pick up the strays.
Sure.
But I'm happy with how it's going. It has one big side effect that I don't like.
What's that?
So it's a blood pressure med, right? And one of the things with low blood pressure is that when you stand up suddenly, you get really dizzy, which can result in falling down.
Yep. Yep.
And so now I have this thing, like I've always had it a little bit where if I stand up quickly, I'm going to get dizzy. It is magnified.
Because you've always had slightly low blood pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, it is magnified now to the point where sometimes I have to take like a full minute to balance myself out, which I will take that. I will gladly take that if it means I'm not having tics.
Yeah, I mean,
but it also means that we probably can't up the dose much more.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I mean, yeah, that's a trade-off I'd make. That's absolutely a trade-off I'd make. That's, you know, that's easier to work around than the tics.
The most trouble I've had is like when I'm at work and I'm picking stuff up off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because then I'm standing up quickly while carrying something.
Right. Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
But that's really the worst of it, and I can handle that. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. No, that's really good progress. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So that's my Noelle's health corner for the week.
It's always good when Noelle's health corner has good news.
It's rare.
It's rare, and I always appreciate it. I'm always glad to hear it.
Yeah. Anyway, we've been at this for over an hour now. Do you want to do one more and then call it good?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go for one that's infuriating. Tell me about Futurama broadcast order.
Oh, my God. So, all right. I run a Plex server. I think most of you know this. I care about things being categorized properly. I care about having things in the right order. I care about having the metadata right. And there's a few shows that just really, really make this difficult. The perennial example for a lot of people is Doctor Who, of course, because you've got this Christmas specials to deal with, which are outside of the regular seasons, like the fucking French Republican calendar for some bullshit reason.
Taskmaster does the same thing with their New Year's thing and Champion of Champions.
Yep. Taskmaster also does this. I think it's less infuriating than Doctor Who, though, because in Doctor Who, those special episodes are very much part of the plot, and you might be a little confused. Yeah. You might be a little confused if you go into the new season without having watched the Christmas special that came immediately before it. So that's, like, to me, that's your canonical example of stuff being tricky to categorize properly. The other classic example, which is closer to this and partly the same people's fault, is Firefly, which was aired in a different order than it was produced, and therein
sure
lies
was.
The problem. Yep. So Futurama, again, another turn of the century cock up from Fox. The first four seasons, well, the first
Fox.
Five seasons. Yeah, fucking Fox. The first five seasons, by which I mean the first four seasons plus the movies that came between seasons 4 and 6 and are thus categorized as, air quotes, season 5, are notorious for having been aired in a very different order than the order they were produced in. And some DVD releases even have a third unrelated order going on, which you have to fight with if you're using any kind of automated download software to capture copies of these files and store them on your personal media server. About a month ago, I did all this for seasons 1 through 5 and thought, well, you know, the Comedy Central seasons won't be fucked, right? They'll be fine. They're in the right order, just from broadcast, and they're in the same order on the released DVDs and Blu-rays, and I don't have to worry about touching these. Well, I was wrong.
No.
I was wrong. It turns out that they are in both cases, it's actually the back half of the season. They released as, you know, 6A and 6B in terms of internal production codes. And 6A and 7A are both fine. They're both aired and released for home video in the same order, in the right order. Mm-hmm. And everything's fine with the world. Seasons 6B and 7B, however, despite not even being on Fox, despite being on Comedy Central when they were released, the DVD order is not the airing order, which is not the production order. And the production order is really the one you want. So I had to fix that and get really, really annoyed with the people who run the TV database, which is an online website for where Plex, for example, and other software in this field pull most of their metadata from.
Even Letterboxd uses TMDB.
Yep, they sure do. They sure do, which fortunately movies have this problem far less often. I won't say they never have this kind of problem. Significantly less often. TV shows also normally don't have this problem. It's kind of like, it does feel like one of those universal level ironies that like shows that the kind of person who is into maintaining a personal media server do tend to have these problems more often. And that just feels like a little fuck you from the universe to me. So I ended up having to import the files manually and name them manually so that Plex would get them in the right order. And I just told Sonar to ignore those seasons too, like it's already ignoring seasons 1 through 5 for broadly the same reasons.
Sure. See, I would simply not bother and say, fuck you, you don't get Futurama.
Yeah, but like someone has to host Futurama. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, someone's not me. I would not go to the effort. Just like I can't be fucked to fix the metadata on Community.
Wait, what's wrong with
my metadata on Community is all fucked up. Like none of the episodes are what they say they are.
How'd that even happen? Community doesn't have this problem.
I don't know. Maybe I just need to re-download everything.
That might, honestly, I've done that for a couple other shows that were all screwed up. Sometimes it's just easier.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the episode. That's all I've got.
That's all I've got.
I guess the other thing I could complain about is game mode on Mac OS 26.
Oh yeah, I ran into something with this a little bit recently. What's your problem?
So my problem is that for games such as, I don't know, Hades 2.
Uh-huh.
If game mode is turned on, the game's audio gets really clippy.
Oh, that's interesting.
And, like, it stutters.
So,
And Hades 2 is not the only game that this happens with.
Right. I had this same problem with Parsec, which isn't even a game. It's the thing I use to play games. My gaming PC is a headless box. It doesn't have a monitor plugged in. I access it remotely over the network.
Mm-hmm.
And this also wasn't even Tahoe. This was on, Sequoia? Whatever came before Tahoe, because my Mac Mini won't run Tahoe. But I also had this problem with my MacBook Air, which did get Tahoe before I broke it. Anyway, no, Parsec did the same thing. And it turns out that turning off game mode made audio work again, so that I could play all of my games.
Huh. Yeah.
Weird.
Game mode is, in my opinion, the devil.
It actively makes playing games on your Macintosh worse.
I don't understand it.
And I thought this was just like a weird Parsec thing, because like streaming a game
across the
network.
This is the year of gaming on the Mac.
No. This is the year of gaming on Linux.
Oh, sorry. That's my bad.
That's it. That's the show. End it there.